Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written in Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, Sam Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice, and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. And today, you guys, I am here again with the one, the only, the amazing Celeste Hart. And if you guys have been a fan of the podcast or the YouTube channel or literally pretty much anything that I do, you have heard from her, you know about her books. They are amazing. They're black, they're fantasy, there are dragons. And she is here again on the podcast to talk to us about her upcoming third book, completing her trilogy, as well as give us a little bit more insight into ChatGPT. So this is your warning. If you have not heard our previous discussion talking about chat and giving you like a base level of introduction into it, I highly recommend you go listen to that and then get back into this conversation. So that being said, welcome back to the podcast, Celeste.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you because for those of you listening, I need you to know that Celeste is one of the members of my author council that I've talked to you guys about several times. And in it, I need you to know that she is constantly yelling at us for not using all the tools at our disposal. And she's just like, what is wrong with y'all? Y'all realize that this could be easier, right? You're making your life difficult. So I'm excited because she's just really knowledgeable. And when I tell you, she's completely changed how I think about many, many things. I'm excited for you guys to get the same treatment. So that being said, Celeste, please introduce yourself to our listeners in case this is their first time tuning in.
So, I'm Celeste Hart, author of the Dragon Bones trilogy, which, as Chelsea mentioned, is coming to an end soon. It's going to be released on March 4th, so look out for that. The Dragon Bones trilogy basically covers Jashi and Kamal, which are two main characters. Jashi is engaged to be married to Kamal, and the story features fantasy and sci-fi themes. It's a blend of the genres. And it goes into, you know, Jashi, she has fire abilities and so does Kamal. And they're on a journey to really understand themselves and their abilities better. And as they go on this journey together, they end up finding more about their heritage as a people and rediscovering their lost connection to the dragons that they as a people took for granted. So the end of that trilogy is coming out March 4th, and I'm really excited about it.
As you should be. So again, if you guys are listening to it, you should 100% get into it. Like I said, I can't even put it into words, but like it's black fantasy dragon. Would you say that the romance between Jashi and Kamal is a slow burn?
Yes, definitely. I've had many people yell at me about how slow burn it is. And I'm like, I warned y'all. Okay, I have put it everywhere on all my social media. It's like, this is a slow burn, okay? But it's worth it.
So get into it, you guys. It has a little bit of everything. And the reviews that I've seen by black people, everybody enjoys it. So you got to get into
it. And
the ones that count, right? And y'all know what this podcast is about. I'm not sugarcoating which reviews we pay attention to, right? And also keep in mind, I don't know where you're listening to it, but today is February 6th. We are at the beginning of Black History Month, 2024. Yep. So y'all already know what it is. Come correct. Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. But that being said, let's talk about that because you are completing a trilogy, which is something that I feel like a lot of authors start, but I feel like it's so rare to actually see an author complete a series. I don't know. Maybe I just don't be paying attention, but I think you're one of the first people that I've actually talked to who is like, yes, I set out to write a trilogy and I have henceforth written the trilogy. And I think it's specifically it's a trilogy and not a duology because I know authors mm-hmm. finish duologies, especially when they're trad and they're like, oh, I had a 2-book deal, but that's not your situation. So like, how does that feel? What has that journey been like for you?
Well, it's definitely been a long one because I did hit a major slump in between writing the second and the third book in the trilogy. But I would say that I got over that because of the fact that I really am passionate about this story. I'm passionate about these characters and what the story represents to me. Like, the way that I've approached writing about like my main characters and their relationship to their fire abilities is something that personally connects with me, because I have included a lot of themes of like trauma and anxiety and understanding how to deal with those issues. And in Dragon Bones, it's sort of translated to like fire, and it explodes when, you know, Joshi gets anxious or she's scared or things like that. And I really wanted to conclude that. Like, I didn't want to leave that kind of story that's really near and dear to my heart unfinished without giving my characters a sense of closure. So it's per se, I ended it for the most selfish reasons.
No, that makes sense, though, because I personally am kind of looking at you and being like, okay, you're finishing your trilogy. Like, I'm like, what is that like? Because I very much have to finish my trilogy this year. And I'm like, oh, wow, we're really like literally closing the book on an era of writing. And like you said, spending so much time with these characters and writing their journeys and spending time with it and promoting it and like just getting to know them, and then literally writing the end of it and being like, that's it. You know, yeah. I feel like it's a process, because your first book came out in 2020. We're in 2024. So you've spent years with these characters.
Yeah. Even before that, because I started writing in like 2018 and it got picked up in like 2019. So that's like five or six years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long while to have these characters sitting around in my head telling me what to do.
Not telling you what to do. But no, I feel that. So if anyone's listening, especially newer writers, because for whatever reason, left or right, I feel like a lot of writers, especially in the realm of fantasy, when they're breaking into it, they're like, the first thing they want to write is a series, right? So whether or not that's the best option is between you and your Jesus. But from someone who has done it, right, what would be your advice to anyone looking to set out to write a duology, a trilogy, or a series in general?
I definitely think that you should take it slow. Like, I've been writing ever since, like, I could hold a pencil. Like, I've always been interested in writing stories. My mama says it's because I talk a lot. I write a lot. And I started with like short stories and just little things that just came to mind. And I wanted to tell a story about characters that I had in my head, and I wanted to put it out there. And eventually I got to writing on, this is like a pre-Wattpad website that was called like Miss Literati. And it was majorly 13-year-old, but I loved it. And it really got me excited about writing, because it was the first platform that I got to be on that let me share little stories with other people. And I really enjoyed being on that platform, because it did give me an introduction to just like writing short little stories that's self-contained. But like, you know, nobody's writing 300 pages worth of a book on a Wattpad type of platform.
I mean, you know. Some people are, but I mean, you've got to be committed.
Yeah.
Like, committed.
That kind of was a good start for me to like approach writing stories that slowly got bigger and bigger, because definitely writing a trilogy or a duology, even right off the bat, is a very big ask for yourself. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, like I spent 6 years with these characters, and this is 6 years of writing three whole books. You know, this is not 6 years thinking of an idea or, you know, planning for it or whatever. Like, this is 6 years of writing 100,000 words per book.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
300,000 words.
Yeah. And that's not accounting for the ones that you ultimately have to be like, okay, this doesn't make it into the story or the research or anything other than that. And
no, that's finished product.
Finished product, which is completely different. And if you are listening to this, I do want to put this caveat in here, because I know, especially in the beginning, when you're writing fantasy, sometimes it could be like, oh, my book needs to be this long. Let me tell you this. Your book needs to be as long as it needs to be. If you are naturally a 70,000 word writer, live in that and write your book and have it be the best 70,000 words it is, but do not go in and add 30,000 words of fluff, because people will see it and they will notice and they will complain. But by that same token, if you're like, my book really needs to be 120,000 words, let your book be 120,000 words and don't try to cut it down to like 70 or 80,000 words because you're like, oh, it's too long, because then you're going to be missing integral information that your readers actually need. In my mind, it's kind of like driving, right? Everybody has like a natural speed limit that they just kind of drift towards too when they're not really paying attention. Some people it's really fast, some people it's really slow. Whatever it is, just living your lane, right? All that being said, you guys, if you're listening to this, just make sure that you are doing what feels comfortable for you. But this is not me giving you advice. This is Celeste giving you advice. So we are going to reroute this back on track.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, like, you know, what you talked about the word count. And I would caveat that with, especially for overwriters, like, I wouldn't tell too many overwriters to keep overwriting, because, like, they get in their own heads. And I'm saying this as an overwriter myself.
She's not talking like, to myself.
I feel like when you get to, like, the 120,000 range is about when you need to start thinking about, do you have one book or do you have two shorter books?
True. And I guess I will agree to that caveat, and I kind of meant it in the sense of, like, if your book legitimately needs to be 120,000 words, because there are some books where it's just like you don't feel that the book is long because everything that you're getting is actually necessary. It's not fluff. It's not like, oh, you need to cut it here. It's just like, no, the book just needs to be longer,
especially right? fantasy and sci-fi. I feel like you can get away with that a lot more. I don't think anybody's here for 120,000 romance. I'm sorry, 120,000 words.
I'm not gonna like there, and I think it's also a genre thing. It's genre
specific
expectations. Yeah, because fantasy, if you have to build an entire world and you have to build a god system and you have to build a map and you have to build cultural expectations, that's going to take time. That's going to take up some of your word count, a significant portion of your word count, if you're actually doing it correctly. So. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. But if you are writing a romance, it's 120,000 words. I'm sorry, love. These people need to get together at the end and move on. I am not here for that. Absolutely not. There are too many shenanigans happening in this book. But that's just me. That's just me. But that being said, can we talk about like your process a little bit? Because I know there are some people who are listening. It's like, okay, you've written this trilogy, right? But how did you get from point A to point B? Because, you know, like you said, it's been like 6 years, right? Oh. How has your process changed since writing the first book versus writing the third book? And yeah, let's just start there.
Well, I think one of the things that has changed from beginning to end is knowing who my audience was. Mm. And this is just something that I know is specific to me. I know that I can sometimes have the tendency to sort of be a people pleaser. And I don't know if that's like the right word, but it's kind of like, you know, that sense of like reading the room and kind of adapting to like what's going on in the atmosphere and being like, okay, I'm kind of getting this vibe. Let me come out like this, you know, when you're mm-hmm. approaching a conversation. And that's kind of how I've approached writing in some way, because like I said, a big part of my writing journey has been in like little writing communities online. And that's kind of been a place where I've definitely grown a lot as an author. But for that reason, I've kind of sort of read the room when it came down to writing my characters and the world that I was building. And like from the start, when I was editing the first book of Dragon Bones, I was noticing all the little things that came up in editing that was like, huh, this is a pretty Wattpad-like thing that I had happen.
Not Wattpad-like thing.
Very Wattpad-like. And just a very simple example is the fact that my chapter's just like 1,500 words long. And that was just because of the fact that that was about how long it took to scroll through if it was a Wattpad chapter. But like in editing and stuff, for like a real book, the word count ended up being something like, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 words. So just stuff like that came up in like the first book. And I think it was interesting because like I sort of drifted out of the Wattpad scene because I was being published by a small publisher called Immortal Works, and I couldn't have my books online like I did. So, you know, I took stuff down off of there, and I found a writing community on Twitter. And like kind of in that space, I started to read the room differently because like my Twitter audience was like, you know, in their 20s or so, you know, between like maybe 15 and 20. So I had a lot of a more mature audience that sort of influenced me writing the second book, especially because around that time, like I said, like I just sort of found myself adapting to what I felt like people around me would like and relate to.
I think that's important too, though.
Yeah.
Because like,
you still have to know your audience, no matter what you're writing for or who you're writing to. Like, you still, like, we want to make writing a thing that, you know, we do for the fun of it. And it is. But if you're making sales, you do have to realize that it is marketing still. Mm-hmm. You know, you still have to appeal to an audience that wants to read it. You know, they say, like, you know, you should write for yourself. You should be your first, you know, audience. And it's true. You should write to an audience that's similar to you, but you still know what that audience wants.
Exactly. And I've talked about this a little bit myself, where it's just like, when you have to, like you said, pick one audience and market to them, because the way you are going to push your book, because at the end of the day, let's be real here. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're thinking about being an author and you're taking it seriously, like, you know that it's more than just a hobby for you, right? Or even if it is a hobby, but it's a hobby you want to do seriously because it's going to be a side hustle or whatever. You're looking at it and you're like, I want to make money from this. Part of that is acknowledging that you have to sell this book to someone. That's going to be a part of your job. And being able to, like you said, know your audience, know who you're marketing to, even if it's someone who's like you, understanding that your demographic is someone who fits a demographic that you personally fit into, right? And knowing how to reach them and how to tap into it. And then also kind of acknowledging, like you said, that over time, the where you start out at, the book will probably change if you shift. Because like you said, a lot of these online writing communities, and I'm speaking from, oh my God, am I old? Is that what I am now? I don't know. But it's one of those things where it's like, at one point, it kind of felt like on these online writing communities, it was nothing but teenagers. Like, it was nothing but a little bunch of like baby writers. And I don't say that. It's like, oh my God, you're childish.
Myself it's, included.
it's literally like, okay, you're the person writing the story is like 14, 15. It may get updated. It may not get updated. It may just die in the middle of a very climatic scene because they had an exam, or, you know, they got their laptop taken away, or it broke, and you just never heard from them
all
again.
The time. It's happened all the time.
And then you'll get an update like 2 years later, like, oh my God, you guys, hey, sorry, my life fell apart, and then I had school, and then I got a new laptop, and I couldn't log in, and I totally forgot about it. But hey, I'm going to come back and finish this story.
I found my hard drive.
Yes. It's like, I was cleaning out all of my Google Doc files, and I found this story, and I was like, oh my God. Right? I feel like for a long time, I don't know if Wattpad is still that, because obviously when I was on it, it's like all these websites were still very new. Like, the internet wasn't new, but it was very much in its expansion phase, and all of these websites doing these things and making things easily available was still very new. And so the primary demographic using the internet were like teenagers who knew how to use the internet appropriately, right? But that's another conversation for a different time. I'm not going to continue aging myself. The point is, they were children. Okay? So it's just kind of like, when you're writing on Wattpad, you cater to the audience on Wattpad because you want people to read your story. So like you said, your chapters are going to be shorter. Your characters are going to be a little less mature because you need the drama, right? Every chapter has to be like over the top dramatic. And
cliffhangers. You got to have the cliffhangers.
You have to like write to the trends. And it's a little bit different on Wattpad than traditional publishing because, you know, in traditional publishing or indie publishing or professional publishing, I'll say, the advice is don't write towards the trends, because by the time your book is done and ready to come out, the trend is going to be over. If you're writing on Wattpad, you absolutely need to write towards the trends because you can see a trend one day and literally have a story out later that day. So it's kind of like it's a completely different era, right? It hones a different set of skills. But then you, I don't say you grow up, but for a lot of us, you grow up, you're like, oh my God, why is this character like 15? I'm so sick of this. Like, can we grow up, please? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Or can we, like, this character's 16, that character's 18. When you're 16, that gap is like, oh yeah, that makes sense. When you're 18, you're like, oh my God, why is he talking to a child? This is so weird. Right? Anywho, getting off of my soapbox because that was a moment. You had to be there.
I know, right?
Yeah, your writing changes.
Yeah, my writing changed. So being on Twitter was a different era for me. I kind of was writing to that audience, I feel like. And, you know, in between, there was a billionaire that came and bought Twitter. And all of that changed. You know, yeah. Everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked. So...
Sorry. Continue.
So, you know, I've had to transfer platforms, not really knowing where to go. I've been on Instagram. I've been on TikTok. I've been kind of, you know, I've been on Blue Sky. I've been on Threads, like, you know, what you want, because the Twitter fire happened. And so that experience kind of left me a little bit stranded and in a zone where, and I think that's part of the inspiration that I lost is because of the fact that my community source had been it lost changed. and it was hard to figure out where my audience was, who my audience was. And I was in a position where it's like, my audience just had to be myself. It had to be like, what do I need to finish this book? Because I can't make up people that's, you know, currently not in my, it's not in my atmosphere. I was about to say that in Spanish.
I need you guys to know, side note, that this girl is incredibly intelligent, and I have learned very quickly on in our friendship to not even try to keep up with her, because every time I talk to her, she's like, yeah, I have a different hobby. Yeah, I'm speaking a different language, very casually. She's a polyglot. She speaks like 4 languages, you guys. And I was just like, when I found that, I was like, you speak what? What? You speak 4 languages, bruh. Okay. And then she was like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm just teaching myself programming because I need a hobby. And I'm like, that's not a hobby one just picks up, but cool, go off. And then she's like, also, I'm an artist and I do cover art, so like, I could do yours. And then she did, and it was amazing. And like, my book is still getting nominated for cover art awards. So I mean, like, go off, I guess. Girl has so many hobbies, and she's good at all of them, and I hate it, but I love her for it, but I hate it. Because I'm like, why are you so damn talented all the time? What? Anyway, rant over. She's amazing. Go follow her on whatever social media, because she has all of them. She has all
of
them.
I really do.
Get into
it. I really do at this point. Less tired on everything. But yeah, so like, I didn't have anyone around me at that time, like a big community to kind of like read the atmosphere. And it's just like, I had to read myself. And that was an interesting journey to go on to like really find out what made me want to write this story and what made me want to finish this story. And like I said, like I kind of tapped back into what I began with, which is a journey on like this character that's dealing with emotional trauma and setbacks. And, you know, not just that, but like understanding her own identity and where she feels like she fits in the world, you know, along with this person that, you know, they find themselves on this journey together. And that's sort of what brings them together in the end. So that ended up being the biggest drive to me finishing. And I think that that's one of the biggest reasons why this is my favorite book in the trilogy, because I think that it's like I really hit my stride when I got to the point where I was like, I know how to write for other people. And I just figured out how to write for myself, like truly write for myself and, you know, the things that are most important to me. And I feel like that the end of the trilogy has kind of been a combination of those two things to say, okay, I know how to bring a coherent story together. Like, I'm not going to look at this chapter and, you know, cry over the fact that I had to cut out literally everything in it.
Felt that.
I'm not going to get upset over that, because I'm like, okay, we're making this efficient. We're getting to the point where nobody wants to read, you know, 20 pages of me describing the rain because my character is sad. I'm beyond that point now. But I do understand also that, like, I'm like, okay, this is about the major themes in the story, the things that I really want to get across to my readers. So I feel like I've been able to combine those two skills. And that's the reason why this is my favorite book in the trilogy, because it really is an evolution of who I am as an author. So with that, I would say that when you're writing a trilogy, be prepared to go on a journey along with your characters, because you are literally in here for years along with your characters at the same time. So things are going to change.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because it's, again, something that I've kind of also experienced and that I've been trying to, like, put into words. But it's like when you start a series, you're at one point in your life, one point of whatever, because you create these characters. Like you said, with Joshi, you were talking about, you know, the overwhelmed feeling and wanting to work through those feelings that you no doubt experienced yourself, but also wanted to put on the page to have your character work through, because that's the theme of the series, of the book. It's the, like, overall character arc for Joshi, right? It's her growing and working through that. And so in tandem, in order for you to write it, you also have to grow and work through that. And for me, I know with We Are the Origin, Wrath of the Gods, it was just like, okay, the characters are in a very specific place in the beginning, in the first book, of like figuring out who they are, right? Like Brandy knows, but by the end of the book, it's like, oh no, she didn't fully understand her own capabilities, right? And in so many ways, that's also the same journey that I have been on. And it's just like coming to the end of it and being like, okay, I have to sit down and write this last book. Where are they at? And realizing, like, you have to complete the journey alongside your characters. It's not just them having worked through it successfully. You also have to work through it successfully. It's part of the reason why I feel like sometimes when authors put too much of themselves into the book, like if it's something that you're actively working through in that moment, it's very easy to run into a writer's block, because it's kind of hard to have a character work through something and hit a revelation in their journey that you haven't hit in your own. So be careful.
Not to mention the attachment that you'll get to a chapter with 20 pages in it with you describing the rain, because all of the villains,
describing the rain.
All of the villains are going to be in that chapter. I'm trying to tell you, like, you think that you're like, oh, okay, I'm just going to be attached to this character when she goes through. Like, I have dealt with people with editing. I do editing a little bit on the side. And when I tell you that, it's just like the way that some authors will just sit there and be like, but it has to be this way. And I'm like, it doesn't.
It doesn't,
though. Put your feelings where it matters.
It's like, just for a second, imagine this book isn't yours, and then you just sat through reading 5 pages of water falling from the sky. Literally could have been a sentence. It was raining. Boom. 3 words. I just did it in 3 words, which you could not do in 3 pages.
You know how devastated people be when you do that too? And you're like, I just reduced 3 paragraphs to 1 sentence. Deal with it.
Don't know what to tell you. You could have been great. I'm trying to help you be great. Like, that's what you're paying me for. So, no, I get it. I do. It's part of the reason why I personally struggle with editing, because I'm like, listen to me when I'm talking to you, please. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Let me help you. Help me help you. But, okay. Speaking of that, though, helping and tools, I don't know. That was like the worst transition in the history of the podcast, but whatever. I do want to talk a little bit about ChatGPT, because you are like literally the most knowledgeable person that I know. I have written a book on it, by the way, in case you guys were interested, like literal book. Is it out already, or is it coming out?
It's coming out. So this is a book that's going to be for programmers. It's for developers. I think it's called ChatGPT for Java, something like that. There's like some marketing things about what the title is actually going to be in the end. But yeah, I am a ghostwriter for that.
Oh, was I not supposed to tell people? My bad.
Well, no, sorry. It's fine. No. No, it's fine. No, I helped write it. And so I'm a ghostwriter, so to speak. But it's a collaboration with me, and the name of the author that's on the book is Bruce Hopkins.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Well, that being said, though, you know a lot about ChatGPT. I only brought it
let
our listeners know that she's an actual, like, credible source, right?
Yeah, and I am going to write a book on just ChatGPT for the average person, so that is something that is, you know, in the works as well.
Awesome. Because it's needed. It's very needed. And one of the things that you brought up a lot is that you can use ChatGPT for brainstorming and world building when it comes to writing fiction and fantasy. So I kind of wanted to know if you could, like, talk a little bit about that, especially for anyone who's interested in using it more effectively in ethical ways. Because if you are listening to this, I want to let you know that on this podcast, we only support using ChatGPT in ethical ways. If that is not you, if that's not how you use it, hate that for you. Take that up with your Jesus. But that's how we are over here. Okay, so please do not be angry about it. It is a tool. You have to use it. We talked about that in the previous episode that Celeste was on, so get into that. But that disclaimer out the way, what advice do you have for writers who are looking to actually use it for those things, brainstorming and world building?
Yeah, so I would say that, first of all, if you've never used it before, like, you just logged into the application, you're just looking at it, you've never done anything with it before, I would say definitely, like, play around with it first. Like, ask it dumb questions, ask it deep questions, ask it, you know, something that you may bring up in a conversation with another person, like, I'm thinking about what I'm making for dinner. And then let it give you suggestions, just so that you can kind of get warmed up and understand, like, how it makes suggestions. And also, like, where its shortcomings are, because if you have a long enough conversation with it, it will tend to forget some of the things that were said at the beginning of the conversation. So if you're trying to have it, like, have a continual conversation as if it's a person, and you're, like, way, way, way deep into the conversation, like, it's not going to remember all the things that you said since the beginning. So that's that. But once you're already, like, familiar with, like, the basics of how to use the application, I would say that one of the most useful things for me is, like, the little things. Like, if you are writing about the 1800s and you are like, oh, so, you know, Rosetta decides to, you know, slip away and go to the toiletries. And then you're like, what did they use in the toilets? What was there? Did they have a sink? Did it flush? Like, little things like that. And,
I'm sorry.
You know,
that's it, me. Like, did the toilet flush? But that's a real question. I'm sorry.
I'm real, though. Like, she can't, like, you're like, is she being at the sink, like, doing her makeup? Is she putting on lipstick? Like, does she have lipstick? So little things like that, you know, it's harder to find, like, little niche things like that on the internet. Like, going to Wikipedia is not really going to help. You know, the random chance of going to a Reddit thread that has that kind of information, like, it's more difficult. And you can look it up on ChatGPT and it can give you an answer. I'm not saying it's going to be the right answer. I'm not saying you should take that, run with it, and say that it's true. I would say to definitely double check what ChatGPT gives you if you're, like, getting into, like, research for facts and knowledge and stuff. Like, you know, if you decide to get up and take what it gave you as fact, you know, you're going to have egg on your face. But so definitely do your own research with what it gives you. But It's definitely really good for those, like, little niche things. But for world building as a whole, though, what I really like doing is basically treating it like it is a conversation with another person. And they actually have a feature now that makes that easier. You can, on your phone, you can like press this button that has, like, headphones on it, and you can actually have a conversation where it's talking back in a natural sounding voice. And I like to just actually treat it like it's a person that I'm brainstorming with. And I'm like, okay, I have a vague idea. I want a girl. She's traveling to different worlds. I want her to talk to fairy people. I have absolutely nothing else. And, like, let it give you ideas. Like, if you're coming in there being like, listen, I have nothing but an aesthetic. All I know is that I saw these pins on Pinterest. I liked how it looks. These are how the pins look like. How do I make this into a story? That's perfectly valid. Like, and it will give you something to start with. And one of the things that I love about it is that I can take all of my most chaotic thoughts and give it to a robot to come out with it and make it make sense.
Honestly, I feel like that would be such a benefit because I am still like struggling with how to use it for like world building things, but I have used it for just like understanding the genre because I feel like that's something else that a lot of people probably could benefit from. Again, slight plug, if you missed the episode where Tatiana OB was on the podcast, she broke down a lot of different genres and genre expectations. So get into that. But I know for me, one of the things that I really benefited from was when I was like in the beginning phases of Project Necromancer, is being like, okay, what is a dark romance? Like, what is the ratio balance? And like, what makes something specifically a dark fantasy? Because it's not just, oh, okay, someone dies, therefore it's a dark fantasy. There's more nuance to it. And then asking ChatGPT, it was just kind of like, it really like broke it down. It's like it covers heavier themes and there are like basically consequences. So just so you know, if you're listening to this and you're one of those readers who's like, oh, I want fantasy books, but there never seem to be any real consequences for any of the characters' actions. What you're looking for is a dark fantasy. There are consequences in dark fantasies. And then also just asking things like, what are some like common romance tropes? And then breaking that down, especially if you are the type of person where you're like, okay, I've heard of different ones, but like one time I didn't know what a meet cute was. People use it and I was like, what is a meet cute? You can just ask ChatGPT that and it'll explain it to you. I asked real people and they explained it to me and I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And basically, if you also are curious, the answer to that is a meet cute is basically when the two characters meet in a really cute way. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's just the way that it's thrown around sometimes. It can be kind of hard to gather the meaning from just context in Twitter conversations. So I'll have to say that it's honestly a tool and I encourage what Celeste said. Play around with it and see if it actually will benefit you.
I also enjoy using it, like I was talking about using it for research. I also was doing a lot of research on the like more darker genre. So I did a lot of research in like not just like dark fantasy, but I also did some research into horror. Because like I feel like dark fantasy tends to like pick up a few traces from the horror genre. So I did ask ChatGPT for book recommendations on just classic horror novels or even classic literature on the subject. Because I was just like, what's the most common tropes in horror? Like, obviously, it's going to come from the most famous books on the genre. But because I have never read horror before, I don't even know what that is. So I, you know, was able to get up, like I actually did read Dracula. Not Dracula. I read a little bit of Dracula. I didn't finish, but I did read Frankenstein.
Is it good? Like, I know that Frankenstein is the, like, the great grandfather, the root of basically all sci-fi.
Yeah, it actually is good. I actually enjoyed it. And I'm actually glad that I started with that because it is kind of like what you was talking about, having fantasy with repercussions. Like, it is definitely a fantasy with repercussions. Like, that's basically the whole theme. And I don't want to spoil it for you because, like, I remember when I mentioned that I was going to read it on Twitter, like, I had all these people telling me, like, you're reading this is going to make you mad at all the Frankenstein adaptations. And they were all right.
Maybe I do need to read it because the thing is, all I know is about Frankenstein is what everybody knows. It's just like patchwork, right? Yeah. But I feel like the original story has a lot more depth and nuance to it.
It really does. It really does.
So I will consider it. I don't like to tell lies and be like, I'm going to read it for sure, but I will definitely think about it.
But yeah, but like getting book recommendations that kind of helped guide my research so that I could get all of the information that I needed to embark on some of the darker fantasy that I was interested in writing. So that was really useful. And even like, because I'm a fantasy writer and I tend to really love delving deep into world building. One of the things that I actually used it for recently, because I am drafting a little novella that's a dark fantasy and everything, and I had this concept, or I wanted like these monsters to like come from another dimension and to like terrorize people and everything, And I said to myself, so I wanted them to come in disguise, right? But I was like, I want the one thing that they can't disguise to be their horns. And so I asked ChatGPT, I was like, so if there are people that understand that these are monsters and they come in, but they usually have horns, what would they use as a defense mechanism? Like, what are they doing in anticipation for that? And it came up with a really good suggestion. It told me that the villages could have a practice, a yearly ceremony of shaving their heads or uncovering their heads to reveal that everybody in the village is not a monster. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the monsters will have to come up with something in order to avoid those ceremonies because it's going to be a great unveiling. So they're going to have to act now or get out of town. So just something like that, that was like, I never would have thought of that.
That is like, pretty cool.
It was a very unique idea. It was something I definitely wouldn't have come up with by myself. And it's actually something that I intend to use for that story. So just things like that, that's like, and I do love using it for stuff like, you know, plot problems, like how do I make this work? But like I was saying about the world building aspect of it, just getting like a little bit of knowledge about even like time and eras and how things are done in a certain era. I was like, I want this to be an era that's like not quite, like I don't want it to be 1800s. I want it to be before that. I want it to be like swords and shields type of people, you know?
I feel you.
I don't want no muskets. I want swords and shields.
She said, we ain't got no gunpowder, doggone it.
No, I don't want that. You know, I'm like, I want this to feel like an isekai.
I love the anime reference. And if you don't know what an isekai is, I'm actually not going to explain it this time. Please go look it up. It's amazing. If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you should absolutely know what an isekai is at this point. But I'm here for it.
I'm like, this is what I want, but I don't quite know how to visualize it. And then it gives me suggestions. And it's like, okay, what do you want the towns to look like? Do you want them to be ruled by a single person? Is it ruled by a council? Is it ruled by elders? Like, how do they get these stories about the monsters? Do they have a lore keeper? Do they have a merchant that comes in telling stories? Do they have bards that just come in singing songs and everybody knows the monster songs? And the monster song says, you know, don't stay up too late at night. Shave your head every year.
Y'all, this is why I hang out with this woman, because she's freaking hilarious. I can't. She said, don't stay up too late and shave your head, because the monsters come out every year. Okay. Okay. Wait, I need you guys to
stop. I never thought of that.
Okay, I just need y'all to know that I'm excited for this this dark fantasy, and I am here for it, all to, like, 100%. 100%. And this is your reminder to please go follow her so that you also know when this dark fantasy comes out, and then we can all read it together and talk about it. Because it's going to be unhinged. I feel like it's going to be unhinged.
She's taking... It most definitely will be unhinged.
She's taking the advice of a robot. I would like to see how this works.
It is true. You know, we was talking about evolution as a writer. Like, here we go with the first book with the aid of an AI.
But also keep in mind that we're talking about using it for ideas. She's not talking about using it to write the book. That still takes her own skill, talent, understanding of the craft, time, energy, right? There is a huge difference between using it to brainstorm and using it to like try to write the book. And we are not going to have that argument at any point.
And I mean, I'm gonna tell y'all something. Y'all cannot write a whole book with the AI. I'm gonna tell you that right now. As somebody that's writing several books about AI, you cannot write the whole book on AI with AI. Okay? Nope. It cannot even accurately tell you about itself. So if you want to go out there, if you truly want to go out there with a book that was entirely written by AI, I applaud you for the bravery.
Honestly, I'm going to let you know right now that I'm going to drag you very loudly on the internet. I have no shame. If you as an author are like, I'm going to write my whole book using AI, that's the equivalent of looking at a pizza artisan who studied for decades in Italy and being like, yeah, my pizza bites are just as good as yours. No, they're not, homie. They're not. Like, please take your Tyson bites elsewhere.
But I'm like, I want to see you do it. Like, show me. Show me. I'm going to have a big old stack of like 3-4 books on ChatGPT. And I'm like, please tell me. Please. Like, I want to know how you do it. I want to see it.
Take that up with Celeste. Understand that Chelsea, CM Lockhart, and the Written to Melanin podcast and brand has nothing to do with that. And we are not encouraging authors to use AI to write books.
Bring it on.
That is Celeste Hart. Not her instigating across the internet. I can't. I can't. But that being said, you guys, I am not going to keep y'all on this podcast forever. So we're going to wrap this up, not me figuring out, forgetting how to talk. Y'all, I'm so sorry if you have gotten through this episode and you're like, Chelsea, what is wrong with you? I don't know. I have been like this all day and I apparently forgot how to word. I don't know how I'm going to write later. This is going to be a catastrophe. But that being said,
GPT.
Right? I'm going to just be talking to it like, please create sentences for me. Tell the people what I'm trying to say. But that being said, we've been giving a lot of advice about how to write fantasy, ChatGPT, all those things. But if you could give like one piece of advice to anyone starting out their writing journey, like right now, what would that be?
Finish your stories. I've said this before and I will say it again, that the most important thing to do if you're writing is to finish what you start. And that means that if you can't finish something longer, make it shorter. And then finish that. Because the most important thing that you're going to need at this point as a writer is experience. And the way that you're going to get experience is by finishing things. Because I've seen a lot of people that start up new stories, and you know what? They get good at starting stories and they don't get good at finishing them, i.e., Wattpad.
Not her calling out a whole demographic of writers on the internet, because also she's absolutely right. You gotta stop chasing the shiny new project.
Do you know how many of them have like the perfect beginning? Like they have like everything that catches your attention and the ending is crap. If they have one.
If they have. Yes, it's why I stopped reading fan fiction for the longest, because I was like, I can't. Honestly, I would start getting to stuff. And even to this day, I check when the release date was, because don't tell me you got a series and that junk started back in 2002 and you're telling me it's a 4-book series and we're in 2024 and there's only 3 books? No, ma'am. I'm not buying it. You're not going to invest me in this. Honestly, and you know what? I take whatever flat comes with this, because I've heard it too many times on the internet. The thing that keeps me from reading a very specific series that is written by a Black author, there's multiple ones, so pick whichever one this applies to. But it's just kind of like, people are like, oh, I loved the first book. The second book was trash. And I was just like, ah! And y'all want me to start it? Because the first book is good? And no, y'all are not setting me up to take this
nope.
L.
Nope.
I refuse.
Nope.
I refuse. I can't do it. Because it's just like, no. What am I supposed to do with that? Like, why if the second book isn't good and it's a series, it's not like I could just read the first one and just be like, well, I guess I'll never know what happens.
Writers, if you don't want your readers to react like Chelsea just did at your second book, get good at finishing things.
Yes, and I will add to that my own bit of advice. Know what your story is supposed to be if you're going to be writing a series, so that if it's supposed to be a duology, you actually finish it in a duology. If it's supposed to be a trilogy, it actually finish it in a trilogy. Like, know where you're writing to so that your second book doesn't suck. That's also the goal.
Please.
So, but that being said, will you please let the people know where to find you on the interwebs?
Well, look, I made it really easy. I am Celeste Hart on Instagram. I am Celeste Hart on X, which is really Twitter. I'm Celeste Hart on Threads. I'm Celeste Hart on TikTok. You can find me everywhere at Celeste Hart. And by the time this video podcast episode goes up, I will have my website done, which is brand spanking new. And I'm so excited about it because I made it myself.
Whoop, whoop.
And it's I'm really excited about it. So CelesteHart.com. Hart is spelled H-A-R-T-E. And yeah, that's about it. Check me out.
All right. And y'all already know that if you're listening to the audio version of this, you can check the show notes for all the links. If you're watching this on YouTube, it will be in the description box below. So get into it. But that is it for this episode of the Written in Melanin podcast, you guys. If you'd like to support this podcast, please share it with someone that you think may enjoy it. Join my Patreon at patreon.com/writteninmelanin or grab a copy of my books from my website, cmlockhart.com. There are links for everything in the show notes and or description box. And thank you guys again for listening. Until next time, I hope all your books are full of melanin. Bye, you guys.